You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Darren Owen, Gareth Topham and Paddy Aspel, the team in the studio. Hamilton, Utoxeter and Wolverhampton are the afternoon meetings. We've got Wetherby, Kempton and Wexford throughout the evening. So we've got racing on the flat, on the turf. We've got racing over the obstacles and we've got all-weather action as well. Something for everybody, as we say. And my name is Mark Walton, joined in the studio by John O'Connell. How are you, John?
Very well, thanks, Mark. Yourself?
Yes, very well indeed. Obviously, we've had a lot of reaction to the derby, John, so I just want to talk about that before we get stuck into the action coming up on Wednesday. We've heard one or two different ideas of where Massar may be heading. Originally, it was thought he would go to the Irish version of the derby and have a potential rematch with Saxon Warrior. Subsequently, they've mentioned that the Eclipse at Sandown may be an option. He would need supplementing for that, but it's something they did with Hawkbill in recent years.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting angle to go with him as well. So if he was yours, which way would you go?
I think I'd like the Eclipse option.
Yeah.
The Irish Derby, if they went over there, Aidan O'Brien, apart from Saxon Warrior, I'm assuming that would go. He'd have three or four other runners. I think the Eclipse, Roaring Lion, he'd be taking on there. And, of course, the four-year-old as well. We don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have thought Cracksman would be going there at all. He's likely to go for the Prince of Wales. And I don't think he'd go for the Eclipse to make it three runs in 4 or 5 weeks. But as it's the all-aged version, I like the idea of two very good three-year-olds taking on the older horses there. So I'd like to see him in the Eclipse. But to be honest, so long as he turns up in one of them, I think he'll be happy enough. I don't want to see him eased off now till the autumn, whatever. Just one of the two big summer camp races in that week.
Yeah, because I'm sure I was reading straight after the derby that they thought a mile and a half was his trip and they're going to try and stick to that. So it's interesting that they are thinking maybe of dropping him back a bit and taking on the older horse as well, as you mentioned. We've got the same kind of horses at the top of the market for the Eclipse and the Irish Derby. Massar, who does need to be supplemented, I will remind you of that. 3-1 favourite, joint favourite there with Roaring Lion. Saxon Warrior 4-1, 5-1 Cracksman. Ben Battle is 8s, 10s for Cliffs of Moher and Gustav Klimt. Also 10-1 for Hawkbill and Poet's Word, and 12s or bigger for the others is how the Eclipse betting looks. And in terms of the Irish Derby, Saxon Warrior 6-4, 7-4 Massar. DXB, who does need to be supplemented as well, is 6-1, 10-1 for Delano Roosevelt, and 20s or bigger for the others.
Yeah, for the Eclipse, I don't think the drop back to a mile and a quarter will be any problem at all for Massar, but I think he'd have won the derby on Saturday at a mile and a quarter. He showed plenty, a lovely blend of speed and stamina. Just going through those prices you mentioned there, Mark, for the Irish Derby, I wouldn't be in a mad rush to be taking a 6-4 Saxon Warrior. I know they're saying that could have been the track at Epsom, but they're always going to come up with some story, some excuse afterwards. He just looked flat. And after he was short of room early in the straight, it's not as if he sort of flew home after that. It may just have been an off day. He may just had a one flat day, but I wouldn't want to be taking 6-4 at this stage, a month in advance, and then find out he's going to be taking on Massar.
Yeah.
So that's a price I could easily pass on at this stage.
I suppose it's the way you look at the antipodes market, isn't it?
Yeah.
6-4 without Massar in there, if he does go Eclipse, will look a good price. But if Massar turns up suddenly, it's not quite so appealing. But
DXB could well go there as well, and he ran a cracker on Saturday, and I know everyone's already talking about him as a ledger horse, which does make a lot of sense, but he wouldn't be out of place at all in something like the Irish Derby, and been no logical reason why Mark Johnson wouldn't be sending him over there.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else caught your eye in the racing news before we move on to Wednesday's action?
No, the Oaks on Friday, that was just a bit of a funny race. It was a good winner, I think, in the end, but the makeup of the field was odd. There was a lot of horses who, even just as recently as a month or 6 weeks back, were prominent in the market who didn't make the field for one reason or another. William Haggis chose not to run his Newbury winner, and I think he may have missed an opportunity there. So a lot of those horses who didn't go to the Oaks last week are now going to go for the Ribblesdale Stakes at Royal Ascot, which is probably going to be hotter than the Oaks.
Yeah, it doesn't it?
It's going to be a very, very hard group race to win there at Royal Ascot in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm not. I think the winner is okay from the Oaks, but those in behind, not too sure how strong the form is.
Yeah, Forever Together, the winner of the Oaks, might not have been the supposed Edna O'Brien first string, but she still came home in front. And Donica's having a good year, isn't he?
Just a bit, yeah. Well, he's both for the game, isn't he? I was a bit surprised that Ryan Moore chose the one he did. Mm. And I think, although he was well backed very close to the off, the proximity and the betting to a few of Magic Wand from the other mate, Aidan O'Brien horses, told you that he and the team weren't too sure which was the likely one on the day.
Yeah.
The fact that he rode Magic Wand in the end and that went off shortest price of them, I think that would have been third in of the O'Brien mob if he wouldn't have ridden that one. So they probably just didn't know their pecking order. And like something like Peeping Fawn about 10 or 11 years ago, the winner is the sort of horse who could just take off now in the next few months and rack up a few more Group 1s.
Yes, yeah. He must be banging his head against the wall a little bit, Ryan Moore, because last few years he's had a difficult decision and not quite got on the right one.
It very often, well, it didn't win obviously on Saturday, Saxon Warrior, but they very often have a standout one. Mm. But there are times, especially in something like the Oaks, a lot of his fillies are relatively late bloomers.
Yeah.
And they could almost run that race in a month's time, and they'd know a lot more from their gallop stories at that time, which one was the best one. They can they can go forward very, very quickly from that yard.
Yeah, I think we saw that last year, didn't we, with Rhododendron and... The other one that was named after a flower.
They almost have so many, you almost forget which one is which year.
Yeah, Hydrangea and Rhododendron. Couldn't tell which was the best out there. They kept beating each other and so on and so forth as we go along. Anyway, we've talked about that for quite long enough. We've got racing coming up, of course, so we need to turn our attention to that. We've got two races picked out for the Wednesday. Oh, John's got two races picked out for us. We'll go through them in time order, in chronological order. So the 6:30 at Kempton is where we're going to start. A 7 furlong handicap on the all-weather there, of course. 14 of them set to go to post. So you picked quite a competitive handicap for your first choice.
Yeah, and the other one's going to be a 16-1 handicap later, so this is supposedly the easy one.
You're a glutton for punishments.
The horse in question is Ptarmigan Ridge, horse number 2, trained by James Fanshawe and ridden tomorrow by George Wood. Missed an engagement yesterday at Leicester, was withdrawn pretty late in the day due to the drying ground. They wanted on turf, good to soft ground. But by that stage, they had already declared it for this race tomorrow, and this is the easier option. It's a 0-75 handicap. Yesterday would have been a grade above that. He's relatively lightly races for a four-year-old. He's only had the 7 career runs. The stable are just hitting a little bit of form. They've been quiet this spring, but the last couple of runners, they've had a winner and a narrowly beaten second. And this horse is in the right grade tomorrow, back into 0-75. 2 runs this season here at Kempton back in April, very well backed. The yard were very quiet at that time, so I can forgive them that run. And then at Doncaster a month ago, that was, on paper, it doesn't look anything special. 6th of 11, mid-division behind a horse called Watchable, but that race has worked out really, really well. There's, I think, 3 winners have already come from that race. That's strong form when you then turn it back into a horse running a 0-75 like tomorrow. So I think there should be no excuses. I think Rod Millman, father of James, may have the danger in Sir Roderick, who ran very well in an amateur riders race at York about 10 days ago, where it did by some way the best of those ridden up with a strong pace. So there's no reason why that shouldn't make the frame and run a big race tomorrow, especially with the excellent claimer Jason Watson aboard. But I'm going to stick with Ptarmigan Ridge in the 6:30.
Ptarmigan Ridge, the selection there then in that 6:30. And we move to Wetherby next for the 7:40. We've got a 1 mile handicap on the flat at Wetherby on Wednesday evening. A field of 16. It's going to be interesting, this, isn't it? 16 runners around Wetherby, which is a turning old track. Who do you think comes out in front?
Oh, Fancy Mango Chutney, number 11. It's drawn 9. Some people might have a thing. Little thought that could be a bit of a high draw, a bit of an awkward draw at Wetherby. For whatever reason, Mark, it seems to be at a mile at Wetherby, a bit like Thirsk. It's not a problem at all, being fairly high. I don't know if the low numbers go a bit too hard and run themselves into the ground, but I'm happy enough with the draw. His form figures at this track on 3 visits are 3rd, 1st and 2nd. He won last time up. Is second as well at Wetherby two starts ago. Reads very well now. That's for a 0-75 race. It's pretty strong form. The first three, including this one, have all won since. The winner, Luis van der Torres, won last night there, and the third won a race as well. So he's up in higher grade now, but he clearly likes the track. He's in good form, which is something he can't throw at a lot of his rivals for tomorrow. And although it's a bit of a, it needs another step forward, I think he can do it here. So Mango Chutney, I'll be disappointed if he's not a real player in that 7:40 tomorrow night.
Yeah, and hopefully if all 16 of them stand the ground, we'll get a fourth place to him as well with the handicap each way angle.
He'll certainly be an each way sort, yeah. Each way odds anyway. So.
Yeah. Good. Mango Chutney, the selection then in that 7:40 at Wetherby to go along with Ptarmigan Ridge in the 6:30 at Kempton. Been a pleasure as always, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Cheers, Mark. Thanks.
There you go. The thoughts of John O'Connell then on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Darren Owen, Gareth Topham and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Although that may well be a late jockey change there, because I think we're going to have James Millman in instead of Paddy Aspel. A little switcheroo there. Hamilton, Uttoxeter and Wolverhampton, the afternoon meetings. Wetherby, Kempton and Wexford throughout the evening. And as I say, 1:30 start time. So do join the guys there. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.